We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in just a few minutes as we begin our thoughts this morning. We do appreciate all who are here, as has been mentioned. Those who are visiting, we're delighted to have you. Those of us who worship here regularly, it is certainly wonderful that we can be together, that we have this opportunity. Brother Himmel has prayed to gather and worship God, and that is our purpose. Our purpose is to glorify God, to give Him the honor and praise that He deserves, of which He is worthy. And may we continue to do that as we open our Bibles and we study together. I think of what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And when I read that passage and I think about that passage, I think of how challenged we are to not be conformed to the world, to not be like the world. The fact that God calls upon us as His people to live differently than the world. And that has always been the case. God wants us to live differently than the world. What I want to do this morning is to talk about morals. Not just sexual morality, but morals in general. And when you think about the morals of our society, and you think about the morals that God holds before us as Christians, then certainly there is a tremendous contrast. When you just consider the morals of today, it's really a very bleak picture. The world, to a great degree, believes in the idea of situation ethics, that you let the situation or the circumstances determine what is right and wrong. For instance, under most circumstances, the world would say it would be wrong to steal. But there might be certain circumstances, certain situations, when it's okay to steal. At least that's what the world says. Or the world would say that it's wrong under most circumstances or situations to lie, to not tell the truth. But in certain situations, certain circumstances, it might be more moral to lie than to tell the truth. The same with stealing. You know, it's amazing to me how you can hear reports or you can watch television reports or you can read or see on the internet how many people would realize that it's wrong to steal, but you let things get out of hand and there's all kinds of looting that goes on, stealing that goes on. And if you talk to people, and I have seen reporters talk to those who are looting, and the idea that they seem to have is, under this circumstance, well, it's okay. Somebody's going to take it, so why can't I take it? Surely that's all right. When you think about modesty, the world has come to accept practically any kind of dress. When I say that, nudity has not been legalized in our country, although it's legalized in some parts and in other countries. But near nudity is just commonplace. Just in the past several days, and I've mentioned this before, I really hate to get out and go in public a lot of times because what you see is just, I'm thinking, surely this, I'm not seeing what I'm seeing. And again, I haven't seen anybody walking around nude yet, but near nudity is just commonplace in our society. Commonplace in public. Commonplace in the grocery store. Commonplace in places of shopping for clothes or in wherever you go. That's just a part of what is accepted today. Sexual conduct or misconduct is accepted widely by most people. Premarital relations, especially if two people love each other, someone would say, that has just become the norm. common law relationships where a person, they decide just to live together. Again, that has become the norm. Homosexuality. Not only has it become accepted, but it is being promoted, and almost to the point that if you don't think homosexual is okay, you're some kind of criminal. And those types of things are just rammed down the throat of someone who is a Christian. And not only is homosexuality accepted, it is defended. There are people who are ordained by denominations as preachers who are open homosexuals. And nothing is thought about it. And again, that's the morals of our day. That's just accepted as a part of life. Adultery, accepted as a part of life. Profanity, swearing. I don't know where I was somewhere getting something the other day and I couldn't get away from the profanity that was being used. It was nothing thought about it. And I say all of that to say that's the world in which we live. And the question that I want to raise and I want to answer, let the Bible answer for us, is what ought Christians to do in relation to this world in which we live? The first thing that I'm going to suggest is very simply this. We have to recognize the sinfulness of all of these things. We have to recognize that. I think in the lives of so many of us, when we grew up, we understood, we were taught that these things are wrong. These things are sinful. They are against the will of God, and that's what makes it sin. But as time has progressed, and even in my lifetime, as time has progressed, we've gotten to the point to where almost anything is accepted. And it's become a terrible thing to point out to someone that what you're doing is wrong or what you're doing is sinful. And so the first thing we have to do is to recognize the sinfulness of these things. I want to read again 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. I have it on the screen, but I want us just to notice what the Apostle Paul writes by inspiration. These things that he's talking about, they are sin. And the person who practices such, they are unrighteous. And if a person continues to practice such and does not repent of that sin, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what verse 9 is telling us. And Paul goes on after saying all of that, and he says, don't be deceived. Don't allow those around you, those around us, to deceive us into thinking that the things that Paul is about to talk about, is that those things are okay. They're unrighteous. And a person will not inherit the kingdom of God. I should not allow myself to be deceived. Here's what he says. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Paul just simply says that those who are fornicators, we'll just start there, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. What is a fornicator? The only sexual relationship that can take place that is approved of God is when you have a man and a woman who have the right in God's eyes to be married. They are married and they have sexual relations. All other types of sexual relations are fornication, and that word fornication is just a broad term. The version from which Barry read used the word sexual immorality. And you know, that would come as a surprise to a lot of people today. And I think there are people who are engaging in fornication who may not even realize that they're engaging in fornication because they've not been taught. They've not studied the Word of God. And our society as a whole is a society that just accepts fornication, sexual immorality. If a young man and a young woman, if they love each other and they want to have sexual relations and they're not married, that has just, people don't even, there's no shame in that in these days. And yet that is sin. Or if older people decide that they want to have sexual relations and they're not married to one another in a God-approved marriage, that is sexual immorality. That is fornication. And again, that goes on everywhere, it seems. There was a time, and I hope I can say this in a way that is understandable, and I don't mean this in an offensive way, but there was a time when people engaged in sexual activity outside of marriage, people were just looked down on as being kind of trashy. That's the word I'm going to use. I mean, that just wasn't something that happened. And I hope the reason that didn't happen is because that was sinful as far as God is concerned. And we've gotten away, and when I say we, I'm talking about the society in general. We've gotten away from what God's Word teaches, what the Bible teaches, what is right and what is wrong, what is sinful and what is not sinful. And because people do not look upon anything as sin, then it's no big deal. It's a big deal. Fornication will cause a person to lose their soul eternally. And Paul says, do not be deceived. The unrighteous, and he's describing the unrighteous here, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Talks about idolatry. Again, we may not have, as in the first century in the Bible lands, where people built or erected statues per se, although we have some of those. Anytime there is an idol or something erected that we are to bow down and worship, that is idolatry. Number one, God is the one we're to worship. Number two, God cannot be depicted by man as something. God is eternal. He's holy. He's pure. And He is the only one that we are to worship. Adulterers. There's another form of sexual immorality. Typically in the very general sense, having to do with people who are married having sexual relations outside of marriage. And again, that is something that is just commonplace in society. And it starts from the very wealthiest and it works its way down. It starts with people who are in positions of authority and it works its way down. And it goes on and sometimes it goes on and there's knowledge of it and it just seems to be no big deal. It is sin. And whether the world accepts it or not, or whether the world thinks it's sin or not, it is sin. It is sin because God has defined it as sin. Homosexuals. A person who engages, a man and a man, or a woman and a woman who engage in sexual relations, that is sinful. And again, I could stand up in a public place in some places. It might be right here in Decatur if there were people around, the right kind of people who would just be ready to stone me. Oh, they couldn't believe that somebody would teach that homosexuality is wrong. God's Word teaches that, and it's sin. And we have to recognize that. And we may have friends, We may have relatives who are engaged in that, but nevertheless it is sin. I'm not suggesting that we treat somebody in an ugly way. We love those people. But what we're trying to do is to teach them that is sin, and they must come out of that in order to please God. It is sinful. Sodomites. Thieves. Notice what all is mentioned to get thieves. If I take something that does not belong to me without somebody's permission, I am a thief. And it doesn't matter whether it's one penny or $100 or $500,000. If I take something that is not mine without permission from the owner, that is thievery. Nor covetous. Covetous is defined throughout the New Testament as idolatry. Having this excessive desire, wanting something that is not yours, and going to any extreme to get it. Drunkards, revilers, extortioners. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. And Paul, he says there in verse 11, and such were some of you. And I'm going to tell you what that tells me. That tells me that every one of these things that Paul has mentioned, people consciously made a decision to be or to do, and then they consciously made a decision to come out of that or not to continue doing that. So often what you hear, although I'm reading more and hearing less of this, the plea initially with homosexuality was I was born that way. Well, that's never been proved. Matter of fact, that's been disproven. People are not born that way. Medically, a fellow did a study on identical twins, and his purpose, he didn't have the purpose of concluding what he concluded, but he just followed identical twins, and one of those identical twins became a homosexual. The other didn't. This was in about 20 different cases. And what he concluded, again, this wasn't what he was trying. This is not what he started to do. But he concluded was, homosexuality is not inherent. We're not born to be a homosexual. Any more than we're born to be a fornicator. Any more than we're born to be a child pedophile. But the thinking of the world is such that somebody says we're born this way, and then after that was suggested and talked about, then what happened was exactly what anybody who could see would happen. Child molesters, they began to say, well, we're born this way. No, you're not born that way. We choose to become fornicators or idolaters or adulterers or homosexuals or sodomites or thieves or covetous or drunkards or revilers or extortioners, and we can choose not to do that. Because Paul says, and such were some of you. And when I read that, I think how wonderful that is. I'm not trapped in my body just to do what it tells me to do. I can make decisions. And I can choose to serve God. He goes on and he says, but you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Those people who had been fornicators, adulterers, sodomites, homosexuals, thieves, covetous, they had been washed. They had been sanctified, that is, set apart. They had been justified, made just, made right, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, and I have it here on the screen. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles, you certainly may do so. Other sins that the Bible mentions. As Paul is writing in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 22, he says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Paul talks about a former man. He talks about a new man. The former man, the old man, notice he says, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. It's deceitful lust that corrupts us. And Paul says, you put that old man off. You've been renewed in the spirit of your mind, and now you put on a new man. And this new man is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So no longer are we controlled by our lust. But we are controlled, we allow ourselves to be controlled by God in truth and holiness. And he says, that being the case, we need to stop doing things. Speak the truth. Don't lie. You think of any situation you can think of, and you're given the option of telling a lie or telling the truth, and you think of whatever the outcome might be, and if you lie, that is sin. That is wrong. Put that away. Speak truth. Anger. The Bible never teaches that anger in and of itself is wrong. We see Jesus demonstrating His anger and hatred and wrath towards sin. And we should be able to have that same anger towards sin. But we cannot let it control us. We can be angry, but don't sin. What does he tell the one who has stolen? Don't do it anymore. Well, my family's hungry. What's the answer? Work. And not only do we work to help out ourselves, but we work so that we can help those who have need. In verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. I have to be careful what I say. And what I say needs to be for edification. Now that doesn't mean that if I ever say something a person doesn't like, that I'm speaking corrupt words. Edification is to build someone up, to build someone up spiritually. And what I'm trying to do this morning is to build us up, is to edify us, is to help us understand, to help our children understand, to help our grandchildren understand, so that we can teach our friends and our co-workers and our neighbors that these things are wrong. They are sinful. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Don't even let it be named among you. Continuing in verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting, that's not fitting. Telling something that carries with it some innuendo that gets people thinking in the way they don't need to think. I don't need to do that. Foolish talking, coarse jesting. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Here's Paul as he's writing. He's telling these brethren the same thing he told the brethren in Corinth. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Somebody says, it really doesn't matter. Your way of thinking is old fashioned. Yes, it matters. Don't let anybody deceive you otherwise. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. First Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. There is modest apparel. It is to be worn with propriety and moderation. The emphasis is not on the outward person, but it's on the inward person. And when you look at someone and the way they dress, the way they conduct themselves, what you want to see is someone professing godliness with good works. Again, we live in a time where sometimes I wonder, do even most Christians realize what is modest and what is not? I'm not the standard. But when people see us and they see our adornment, they see our dress, do they see someone who's emphasizing the inner man and not the outer man? Do they see someone who is professing godliness? We're doing what we're doing with an understanding, an awareness of God and all that we do. We're trying to please Him. We don't want to dress in any way that would cause someone else to stumble. Man or woman, we're trying to please God. And I will say this. You know, When we have to sit down, and I think it's necessary for us to discuss this with our children and our family, and I'm certainly not suggesting it's wrong for us to discuss with one another. But when we have to sit down and we have to almost have a conference to try to determine what is modest and what is not modest, something's wrong with that. We're trying to please God. We're trying to go to heaven. And what I know is this, if we allow the world and the fashions of the world and what is accepted by the world to dictate what we wear, we will not be pleasing God. Because the world is not concerned about pleasing God. And I don't think any of us would disagree with that. We have to think differently than the world. We have to act differently than the world. We have to dress differently than the world. In Revelation 21, verse 8, and all I'm doing this morning is this. I'm just reminding us that these things are sinful. They're sinful. Revelation 21, verse 8, but the cowardly, I think he's talking about those who are spiritual cowards. The unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. A lot of times we catch that, and all liars shall have their... That's right. But it's not just all liars, it's those who are not willing to take a stand for what is right. To have the courage to stand for what the Bible teaches. We would say, well, surely the unbelieving, surely the murderers, they would not have part. Well, that's right. But neither will the sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. Those things are sin. Matthew 19, verse 9, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. One cause that the Lord gives for divorce and remarriage and it be pleasing in God's sight or be acceptable in God's sight is one partner putting away the other partner for the cause of fornication. And then that partner who put the partner away has a right to marry someone who is eligible in the sight of God. That is just scoffed at in the world today. Surely you don't believe that. Our time is gone, but I want to mention this. Don't be influenced by the world and its thinking concerning morals. There is a statement, or there is a man by the name of Alexander Pope wrote this. He said, "Vice is a monster of so frightful mien or appearance as to be hated, needs but to be seen. Yet seen too oft, familiar her face, we first endure, then pity, then embrace." We look at something and we see the wickedness of it. But the more we see it, we first endure it. And then we begin to feel sorry for it. And then we embrace it. I'm going to stop right there. I may say some other things tonight, or I may not say some other things tonight about this. Somebody says, well, you know, I'm guilty of many of these. What do I do? Well, what we do when we have any sin in our life is we repent of it. We turn from it. We stop doing what is wrong. And if you're not a child of God, that's part of becoming a child of God. In acknowledging Jesus as the Christ, believing in Him and in His Word, turning from repenting of whatever's wrong in life and making up your mind, I'm not going to continue doing that, and being buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins. If you're a Christian, any sin that is in your life or my life, what we must do is repent of that. That means turn from it. Acknowledge that to God. Pray for forgiveness. And He has promised to forgive. But we must meet His conditions of forgiveness in order to be forgiven of God. But we can be. And certainly that's what we want to encourage each of us to do. Is there sin in your life? Make that right. Do whatever it takes to make it right, so you can be justified, sanctified in the sight of God. You can be washed, pure and clean. And when we stand before God in judgment, then because of our forgiveness, because of the mercy and grace of God, we can be saved eternally. And that's what life is about. I'm going to sing the song that has been announced. It may be that someone publicly needs to render obedience to the gospel. If that is the case, we would encourage you to do that as we stand and sing.